Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for today. We give you honor and praise. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. So even so now, in Jesus' name, glorify thyself, Lord, and speak to us. Let our ears hear, our eyes see, and our hearts perceive of the things that you are speaking to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to do a little bit more on the dominion portion of this mini-series of being fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. Today I want to focus on the authority of the believer, or the power, and I call it the power of attorney, that Jesus gave us to act in his name. Well, we know that mankind lost that dominion because of the fall. And the thing, the first call out this morning that I want to call to us is that the thing that Adam fell from, or where he fell from, what he lost was dominion, because that's what God had in mind for him. Let us make man an image and likeness and let him have dominion. And he fell from that. It wasn't exactly heaven that Adam fell from, because Adam was not made in heaven. Adam was not taken to heaven, as we know. There's no account of that. The Lord made him and formed him and put him in the garden, take care of it, and give him a charge. Bring the earth into alignment. So we know that it was dominion was what he lost. And how do we get back there? Well, mankind as a whole, that was intended to have been God kind, lost that dominion. And when Jesus came, he began to restore portions of it to us. Eventually, man will regain the complete dominion. But right now, we see, even as Psalm 8 says, he said, even though the Lord has put all things, under man's feet, well, we don't quite see it yet, but Jesus has given us, a variation of that dominion. It's called the authority of the believer. We don't have quite dominion over everything just yet, but there are some things that Jesus specifically gave us authority over. So we are going to look at that today. Now, why do I say that we don't have complete dominion over everything yet? Well, just look around. Do you have dominion over everything? Of course not. I mean, that one is, we don't even need a long lesson on that one. It is evident, you can see, that we do not have dominion over everything. Even though the Lord has made man, Bible says in Psalm 8 and verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Well, that's the intent. But when we look at situation today, we don't have dominion over everything. But there is areas where Christ giving us specific authority. Now, that's not necessarily full dominion, but we must exercise what we have, at the moment. So Listen to this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, he did that. You know, they may not have been given power or dominion over all fish of the field, you know, like Adam, the fish of the sea, the creeping things and all those stuff. And they should have had it, but we hadn't, we were not able to keep that dominion because of sin nature that crept in. But Jesus at different times imparted certain authorities, you know, and authority is limited power in various areas. It's limited. Dominion, there's no limit. You do as you wish. You are in charge. You know, you just, but authority is, you're giving authority over certain things. Nobody has authority over everything. But you may have authority over this and that, you know. Parables, some parables of the kingdom said the man, you know, that was traveling, called his servants and gave them authority over certain areas of his goods. Over one, he gave five. I mean, to one, he gave five. To another, he gave two, and so forth. I mean, he gave you authority over certain things. Yeah. Even the law enforcement in our cities that we call the authorities, they don't have authority over everything. They have jurisdiction over certain things, you know, and even, you know, they may not have authority in some areas. You know, if they are local authorities, then that's all they have. You know, they can only have authority in their area. They have to collaborate with other authorities because their jurisdiction does not extend there. Even at the state level, at the government level, you know, the reach of certain authorities are limited when they go beyond the scope of, I mean, the boundaries of where their authorities are defined. And when you are in school authorities, they have authority over you when you are on the confines of the compound. And you leave that compound, they don't have authority over you anymore. You know, even though while you are there, they have authority over you. I mean, the principal, he can give certain rules that students must comply with. You know, when that student leaves the campus and goes home, those rules don't apply. You know, now, generally, those rules are good, but, you know, they can't enforce them when you are not on the campus. You know. But when you're in the campus, then their authority, you know, can be exerted. So the same thing is in the realm of what we're talking about today. We have authority in certain areas. We may not be able to stretch ourselves beyond the authority we have at the moment, but take advantage of what you have. We know that full dominion will be restored, but not yet. You know, that's why it says it does not yet appear what we shall be like. It is coming, you know. We see that even Christ himself, we know that, you know, the Father has put all things under his feet. But yet, you know, we don't see everything under the feet quite yet because death is still roaming around. We're told that death is the last enemy to be destroyed, you know. And when it is destroyed, then there will be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" You know, so it has been done, but it is not done. 1 Corinthians 15 and 26 gives us the triumph that Christ has over everything. But it looks like it's still a little ways off before we can see it. One day there shall be no more death and no more pain and no more sorrow. But currently today, even though he has borne our griefs and our sorrows, he was chastised, you know, for our peace, was bruised for our iniquities. Well, even though he had done all of that, yet we see that there is still pain. There is still sorrow. There is still dying, even, you know. So, but, you know, if we can understand the scope of authority that we have versus the dominion that is yet to be put back in place, well, we can use the authority we have. Now, on my job, by the grace of God, I have authority over several people. You know, they report to me and I tell them what to do. Actually, you know, even though they work and are hired for the company, they actually work for me. It's not the company that tells them what to do on a daily basis. The company pays their check, but I tell them what to do, you know. And, you know, somebody else may be, in fact, we had situations lately because of, you know, conflicting priorities and very, very tough and strict deadlines and multiple projects going on at different times. Everybody wanting everything done, you know, and my team of engineers being pulled here and there all the time by everybody, even people that are senior to me in the company. But I tell them, no, you know, I'm the one that tells these people what to do, you know, on a daily basis. You can't just be throwing things at them. You know, you check in with me. Because, you know, I'm the one that understands what's on their plate. Because everybody wants everything done. And they think theirs is the only thing that's going on. But it's not. You want this and somebody else wants that. And the next person wants that yesterday and everything. You know, but I'm the one that's in charge. Dominion is not that. That's authority. You know, I have authority in that area. I don't have dominion. You know, but I do have that authority. Now, when they leave the job, you know, I don't have that authority over there. You know, I can't go to their homes and tell them what to do. You know, I don't have that authority. When they're on the job, I do. You know, so now that's just the difference. We need to understand that. You know, and that's why, you know, people who, I mean, the smart lawyers and everything, they'll find loopholes sometimes, you know. If even the law, you know, tries to go outside their authority, the limits of their authority, right? Because that authority comes with certain conditions. You must do certain things. In other words, if you want to arrest somebody, you have the authority to do so only if they are breaking the law. You know, if they're not breaking the law, and you are arresting them and you can't prove that they are breaking the law, some smart lawyer come in there and say, you know, you didn't prove anything, or you didn't read them their rights, or this or this or that. And they'll punch some holes in it. And that's authority. You can't do that when someone has dominion. You can't argue with dominion. You know, so no, nothing could argue with Adam when he had dominion, you know, not even the Lord. The Lord didn't even correct him. Lord, just let him do whatever. Anything you say goes. What are you going to call this one? So be it. That's it. That's dominion. You know, so that's still coming. We're not there yet. But we must exercise the authority that we have. We're told that even the princes of this world exercise authority over their domains. And so we must also exercise the authority that we have been given. So I want to speak to specific, that's just a background to try to understand the difference between authority and dominion. You know, so everybody needs to understand the authority we have in Christ in certain areas. We already have that authority. Now, if you know how to use your faith, you may pierce the veil into certain other areas, you know, but I'm going to talk about the authority that all believers have today. Whether you are able to have dominion over the sea, whether you're able to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all of these things, whether you're able to have that dominion just yet, well, I'm going to show you the authority that you have today in Christ. You know, so let's not confuse things. Say, well, I can't control the weather. Well, leave that alone. The one that God has given you to have authority over, you must exercise that authority. So, let's talk about it. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Praise the Lord. Heal them. Well, that's how Luke put it. Matthew put it a different way, but it's the same thing. You know, he called them and sent them out. And he said, look, go and preach the gospel. And when you go, he put it to them this way. He said, when you go, right, you preach saying kingdom of God is at hand. You heal the sick. So this is, he gave them this authority to heal the sick, right? To cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, and to do all of that freely. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 10. Verses 7, you know, and 8. And he told them, these things, you know, these things you have received freely, you do it. From verse 6 to about 8. So, the things that he has given us, well, let's know the things that are given us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. And that's, you know, that's his domain right now. But the things that he has revealed, they belong unto us, you know, in our spheres and to our children. They belong. So the things that he has given us, he had really made provision for us to have dominion over everything, but it's not quite there yet. But we have authority over certain things, which is limited. But in that limited space, you do have the authority. Praise the Lord. So, when you have the authority that Jesus has given us over sicknesses and disease, and you know, these disciples actually went out and they tried it. You know, that was chapter 9 of Luke. And then in chapter 10, they actually came back and reported to Christ that, look, just like you told us, we were able to cast out the devils. We were able to do this. We were able to do that. Why were they able to do it this time around? And why were they not able to do it at different times? There was some time they couldn't do it. And, you know, there was a time that they could do it. You know, what's the difference? The difference is that they were acting on the authority. One time they were trying to do it on their own and they couldn't do it. And they finally came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast him out? And you said, well, number one, because of your unbelief. Then number two, sometimes you need to do some prayer and fasting. But in these particular scenarios where he sent them out, he gave them authority to do it. He didn't say, go and fast and pray first. He didn't even say, pray for the sick. You may find that, you know, strange. He didn't say that. He just said, heal the sick. You know, in those particular instances, he gave them the authority to do it. It's not a matter of pray whether the sick should be healed or not healed. You know, pray whether the dead should be raised or not raised. Just do it. He told them, because in those particular cases, he was trying to show something. It was about the preaching of the kingdom. And I need to show these people what the kingdom can offer them that they cannot get under this Roman kingdom that they are in now. They can't get it. But you go out there and show it to them. Heal their sick. There's no way they can be healed in where they are now. You heal their sick. You raise their dead. You cleanse their lepers and so on. You show it to them. Now, did Jesus rescind that authority? Of course not. You know, in fact, when he was about to leave, he said the same things again. You know, he said, go out into the world and do these things, you know, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, these gospel writers, they capture different elements of Jesus' words. You know, when you go out, he said, well, if you believe in my name, cast out devils. In my name is called power of attorney. And you do it in my name. You can't. You may not be able to do it in your own name, in your own self, but in my name, acting under my authority. Praise the Lord. Some people say, well, by the power vested in me by such and such, I do this and do this. Well, you know, police officer also when he flashes that badge, that power is vested in that badge for certain authorities. That's it. You know, so, and it's defined by certain laws. If you do not comply with those laws, they have charge to arrest you. You know, so, and so on and so forth. Now, the authority that we have in Christ gives us, now yesterday we talked about, you know, dominion, bringing the flesh under control. You know, that's an area that the Holy Spirit is walking with us, and we are walking with him. He will show us what needs to be done, and we must comply. You know, and then today I'm talking about this aspect too. When you can recognize areas where you have authority to do some things, and you should do it. You have the authority. And there are times that we see that Jesus has given this blessing and authority to his disciples. As an example, that we can have this. You know, we've seen the time that the one I'm talking about right now, where he sent them out to do these things, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and so on. We've seen the time where, you know, he gave them authority to use just a few pieces of bread and fish to feed thousands. He did it because he blessed the thing and put it in their hands and said, you go feed them. You know, and they did it. So, you know, authority at times may be limited in scope. I mean, the scope of the mission. But within that scope, we can use it if we figure out how to use it effectively. Now, for everyone that's preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, it is in scope for them to have authority to heal the sick in demonstration of that gospel. Paul said, well, you know, my gospel is not in word and this and that, but in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God. You know, so it is within scope of preaching the gospel to heal the sick and do all these things. It is also within scope in your daily lives as a believer, because he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. It's in scope. Your authority as a believer, you know, you can cast out devils in my name, he said. And in my name, I want to speak about that. In my name doesn't just mean saying in the name of Jesus. Hey, this is the thing that many people think. So this is another punchline for today. Many of us think doing something in the name of Jesus means you know, just say the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful. We know that. I mean, because, and we use it, and it works, and God honors it. But there is a greater understanding that we want to share today. You know, because God has highly exalted that name. See, and at the name of Jesus, that's in the authority, acting in the authority that comes with that name. You know, God will honor it and things will happen. You know, but it's not just chanting the name, just chanting the name without even knowing, you know, what it really means. So there is a story in Acts chapter 19 of, you know, some people that were just chanting the name of Jesus. I didn't know what it really, they were not really acting the authority, just thought that all you have to do was just say that name. Well, it was more than that. If all you have to do is just say the name, then it should have worked for these so-called seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19. Let's read or consider their story so that you will see that this is what we're talking about here. It's more than just chant the name of Jesus. You know, so from verse, 13 or so, there were certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, that took upon them to call over them, which are spirits, evil spirit, the name of the Lord. Nah, they just thought, well, as long as we use that name, it should work. You know, well, let's find out what happened. So they come to some demon-possessed person, and they said, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. Well, you know, the Bible says there were seven sons of Sceva that did this thing. You know, he was one of the chief priests, and his sons thought they could just do that. But we see that the evil spirit responded to them and said, well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? So, and he overpowered them. That didn't work. So it's more than just chanting the name. If chanting the name alone would make it work, then it will work in any case, no matter who chanted the name. But that's not how it works. The person that's going to use the name must understand that it's more than just chanting the name, that acting on his behalf. And you have his good interests at heart. When you're representing, like Jesus taught many times, and we've spoken about it in this room many times, when you're representing, you're doing the will of him that sent you. John chapter 4 verse 34 says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, now when you are that focused and you acting in the best interest of the person that sent you, you're using their name correctly and you're acting with the power of attorney, and God will back it up. You know, how does power of attorney work even in our own world too? Well, give someone power of attorney, it's actually limited too. It's not, you know, the power of attorney must be specified by with scope. I have done power of attorney at times. I've been a recipient of the power of attorney. I've also been a giver of power of attorney. But it's limited. You give this person the power of attorney to act on your behalf in this specific area and for this specific thing. You hire an attorney, draw a contract, they can represent you in this matter. They don't necessarily represent you in every matter in your life, but on that particular matter, they can represent you. You know, and that's the scope of their power of attorney. Now, if you give someone power of attorney over your bank account and you don't specify anything, then of course, they could draw that money and do anything they want. In fact, I've witnessed that. You know, one of our neighbors, one time, you know, there was a giving of power of attorney between, you know, the elderly mother and maybe one or more of the, you know, the siblings. And there were some problems there, you know, but it had scope. And sometimes people try to take it out of scope. And power of attorney legally must be defined with, you know, the scope must be defined. So the scope for which God has given us power of attorney to act in the name of Jesus, well, we find it in the scriptures by looking at what the scriptures say, you know. And I don't need to be dismayed if I cannot today control the elements. Well, maybe I can. Maybe I can't. But I'm going to function in the authority that I know I have. You know, and not frustrate myself with one I can't seem to have. The one that I know I have, I can do it. The Lord has also given the authority, you know, for elders in the church. Because it's there in the book of James. If anyone is sick, let them call for the elders of the church. They have jurisdiction in that case to pray for that person, and the person will be healed. Now, you know, that's the way it works. All the things, whatever God has specified in the Word of God, we can act within that framework. Now, let's talk about some things which affect us on a daily basis. On a daily basis, well, the devil tries to come against us, afflict us, and do many things. Pummel us, afflict us, steal our joy, kill your dreams, even destroy your life. That's what he does. John chapter 10, verse 10. You know, so we have to act in the name of the Lord, right, to defend ourselves and defend our territory. And sometimes you can use the divine authority given us also to reclaim certain things that the enemy had taken from us. You know, for instance, in the stories of Nehemiah and Ezra, during the times that they were trying to rebuild the walls that were broken down of Jerusalem and even the temple and so on and so forth, you know, they had to get certain authorization, letters of authorization from the king to convey them on their journey. And acting on that authority of what those letters said, well, they could do whatever they needed to do. Well, but there were challenges even while they were doing that. Sambalat and Tobiah and some other, you know, mean and crude fellas trying to, you know, discourage their work, diminish it, sabotage it, do whatever with it. They were acting the authority of the king. Now, the king might even say something like this: let there be a search made. I love that story. I don't have time to get into that story today. A beautiful story. Let there be a search made and see, you know, what was said. And when he found it, he wrote, you know, I even gave charge, you know, let there be things given to them, even out of the king's treasures, you know. Hallelujah. For where should there be, you know, any hurt to the king? Let's bless the God of these people so that he can bless the house of the king. And he wrote, put commandment out there and says, see to it that you convey these people and let nobody hinder them. Let them do this work. And that so they can act on that authority. And when somebody comes up and say, you can't do this, say, no, we have authority of the king to do it. And so, well, in their case, they had to build with one hand and hold their sword with another. Because that's what you do. You know, because the enemy is not just going to sit back and say, okay, well, so now these people have authority to cast us out. And we're just going to go out like that. Put our tail, you know, between our legs and just hide tail out of here. No. A devil. Jesus was illustrating this lesson. He said, look, when a strong man that is armed, you know, with his goods, and when he keeps his place and all his goods and so on, I mean, nobody is going to take it from him, lightly speaking. You're not just going to get in there and don't just take it away from him. But if you are stronger than him, well, then, but what you do then? Well, he's not going to give it up easily. You're going to have to take it back from him. So if you have the authority and you know that you are stronger, then you're going to use that authority. But first you have to bind him and then spoil him, take away, you know, all that thing that he trusted in. So let's read it to you in Luke chapter 11, verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Now, in this particular case, those goods were stolen. That the devil usurped everything, you know. And then, but, you know, he's got it. But he's not going to give it up, you know. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, see, now, you come upon him in this strength and the authority of what God gives. He's not going to yield easily. You're going to have to use stronger force, the force of spiritual arms to eject him. He's not going to leave easily. You know, you're not going to plead with the devil. You're not going to debate with the devil. You're supposed to cast him out and tell him not to return. Not only cast him out, tell him, come out of him and enter into him no more. Yeah, you got to do that part too as well. Sometimes we just cast out the devil, but you don't give him instruction not to return. Because when you cast out the devil, he's going to go, because these are disembodied spirits, right? They find no rest unless they enter into something. So he's going in and out all over the place, find no rest. He comes back to check out the place where he came from, finding that it's clean and garnished, but empty, see? And there's no instruction that says no entrance, you know, forbidden, out of bounds. There's no instruction. Don't come back. Then he goes and says, wow, this place is clean now. He goes and grabs seven spirits, more wicked than himself. So now there's eight of them. And they now come in and demand the face at the last is worse than the first. Jesus told these stories. You know, so the authority we have, we must exert it according to understanding. You understand that, look, in your own space, when your father giving you charge over certain things, you are responsible. You're not going to let the devil come and take something that you, that God has given you charge over. Like David was a young man. His father, Jesse, gave him charge over the flock. He said, you go keep and watch over this flock. Now, those were dangerous times and dangerous places. Take your flock out the wilderness. You know that there's going to be attack from wild beasts trying to prey on the flock, you know, but you have been given charge. It's your responsibility. Take care. Not only lead them to grass, not only water them and so forth, but you also must defend them. And it was just a young man. A young man like that all by himself, going to defend all that. Well, usually you have a group of shepherds, not just one person. Even in the time of Jesus, the angels say there were shepherds watching their flocks by night. It's not usually just one person. But David was a man that was always subject to rejection like that. You know, part of his rejection story, this is a side story, by the way, was for him to just be sent out there by himself, no help. Yeah, but my help is in the Lord. David knew where his help was from. And he knew the charge that he got from his father was to take care of the flock. Now, whether the father thought he could do it or not, he knew he was going to do it. And he's not going to let anything come in there and take something. He had authority to protect and responsibility as well. Now, authority also comes with responsibility. So, when the lion came, you know the story, and the bear, you know the story. They actually did come and succeed in actually taking something from David. Not that they didn't take. I mean, David wasn't always able to ward them off. Sometimes he did. Sometimes you fight off the, you know, had his shepherd's staff and maybe build a fire around them and so forth, keep the, you know, wild beasts away. But occasionally, you were able to get something. Maybe one foolish one that wandered away from the flock became an easy target. But when David realized that, he went after and got back that which was taken. Now, that's acting in his authority and his responsibility. So we have authority over certain areas of our own lives. Jesus put it this way. He said, you know, watch and pray. And when you are watching and praying, it's a reason that you are, that's what you're watching out for. That's what you're praying against. You know, and he said, if the good man of the house, you know, would have watched, for instance, in Matthew 24, he was talking about that. From verse 43, he said, know this. If the good man of the house would have known in what watch the thief would come, then he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. So, not only do you have authority, but you also have responsibility. You know, you got responsibility over your own space and the authority that Jesus has given you to guard your space. Don't let the devil come in there and do anything. Don't let the devil come in and mess with your family, mess with your kids, and different things like that. You know, we have authority. And that authority, sometimes we don't use it to the full extent. Let me share with you some things that the Lord has said. Psalm 89 and verse 22. The enemy shall not exact upon you. Even though he was talking about David, he was also talking about you too. You know, are you the seed of David? Do you have the sure mercies of David? And so this blessing belongs unto you. Now, the enemy shall not exact upon you, nor shall the son of wickedness afflict you. You know, even though it looks like a promise of protection, it's actually authority for you to stand up against any oppression or affliction intended from the devil against you. You know, so when the Lord says you are free, and the devil says, no, I'm going to bring you into bondage. Well, then you use the authority of the word of God that says you are free to claim your freedom. Praise the Lord. You know, when you have, you know, when a slave set free, giving a writing to say they are free, and somebody start to bring them back into bondage, they can show that they are now free. They have a certificate that they are free. Well, we have certain certificates that we can use. You've got to first find it, though. It's not just lying on the street for everybody to find. It takes some digging. And there's a lot of benefits that people don't even know they have. I'm just talking about benefits now. Even in this country, you know, there are a lot of benefits that are available, but they don't always advertise those benefits. You got to figure it out. And a lot of people don't know they're available, and so they don't even apply, you know, For instance, there are a lot of grants and different things, and they're not going to tell you it's out there. You're going to have to figure it out, even if you are entitled to it. But when you find it, you know you have it, you know, then you can lay hold on it. And we've talked about, you know, understanding the past. You know, we talked about understanding what the key opens. Well, there are certain promises that give us authority over certain things. You've got to understand, you know, what he gives you. God never gave you authority and dominion over some other individual for you to be, you know, trying to control them. That's witchcraft. Peeping, muttering spirits, sorcery and wizardry. You know, when people try to control that, that's witchcraft. You know, God, that's not what God gave us. You know, so, but you will not be subject to that. Numbers 23 and 23 says, you know, enchantments and divinations shall not work against you. So when people try to use enchantments, that's wizardry and witchcraft, and it's real. I can tell you this. Some people don't think that stuff is real. That stuff is real. I can tell you. But what you have is even greater. Greater is he that is in you, you know, than the power that's out there in the world. You know, so how do we know that? Well, you know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, you know, we are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, all the sorcery and all the enchantments and different things. You know, why have you overcome them? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in them or in the world. Remember, we're talking about tools to overcome the devil and the world the other day. You know, and this faith that you have in the promises of God, it actually gives you, you know, it's like a certificate that you know what you have. You know, so it's an authority in certain areas. And the devil is one that does not respect space, does not respect any certificate, doesn't respect anything. You know, he's always an intruder. That's why the Bible says he's an alien. Cast him out. Doesn't belong in your father's house. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Anytime you see the devil, he's an illegal occupant. Get him out of there, Jesus said. Cast him out and let people have liberty. Send them to dry places. Tell them not to return. So we have power, and I want to talk about power and authority against you know, enchantments and divinations. Yeah. So, because some people always say, oh, somebody is doing this to me, somebody is doing that. Especially in my culture, where I grew up, and where I come from, and even some people who have left that place physically, they have not left that thing still goes with them wherever they go. Somebody is always doing something. Whenever any bad thing is happening to somebody around them, they're always thinking it was somebody else that is doing it. Somebody else did. Maybe so. Yeah, that may be so. But, you know, what is the authority that you as a believer have, knowing that he that is in you is greater than he that is in them? I mean, God calls those things tokens of liars. And, you know, they are there actually. You know, and there are dark, dark regions where people can conjure up things. When I was growing up, we were taught to be afraid of certain things, tokens. You know, you're going on the street, you see, they bring these tokens early in the morning. They go out, they conjure some things, they put it out there, you know. And if you are the first person that passed by those tokens, some of you that grew up in Nigeria may know these things, then whatever sorcery and curse they have put out there for somebody that was struggling. Somebody is dealing with some curse, right? And the witch doctor tells them that the way you're going to do it, you bring this, you bring that, you do this, you do this. And then you put all this, conjure all this, and you go put it out there. And, you know, with the first person that passes by there, that curse that's on you will pass on them. You know. So when I was a young man growing up, we're taught to be afraid of all those things. You know. And so when you're going out early in the morning and you see these things, they put this thing out there. A little calabash or something. They put all kinds of things in there. It doesn't belong there because on the side of the street and it should not have been there. Then you're taught to say, quickly run away from there. You know, and that was when I was a very young boy. Later on in life, I'm like, what is this? I just started ignoring those things. Sometimes I even kick it away with my foot. You know, like nonsense. You know, so, but, you know, when you are subject to those things, fear, touch not, taste not, handle not, don't go by this place, don't be, look at this, tokens will harm you and so forth. You know, don't eat this, don't drink that, all these things and so forth. Well, you know, then you are subject to these elements and they will harm you. But you got to use the authority that Christ has given us in the promises of protection and, you know, and knowing what is inside of you. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. That's right. Neither is there any divination against Israel. You know, and according to this time shall be said of them what God had wrought. You know, so this man was being paid to put a curse on Israel. Yeah, he couldn't do it. He tried to do it. Lord told him, you can't do it. You know, so this is the same for you. Don't be afraid of enchantments and divinations. You have authority over those things. They're out there, that's for sure. But, you know, they are not for you because greater is he that is in you than he that is in them. And this is the victory, you know, that overcomes all of that. You know, even your faith. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 44. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Verse 24. And he that formed thee from the womb. The Lord's going to tell you. You know, if you're going to fear anybody, I'm the one that you should be afraid of. Not anybody else. Because I'm the one that formed you. And I'm the one that's going to keep you. And no one can, you know, snatch you out of my hands. Say, I am the Lord that maketh all things. I'm going to remind them. Stretch forth the heavens alone and spread it out abroad the earth by myself. I didn't need any help when I was doing that. And I don't need any help today. And here is another thing that he does. He said, thou frustrated the tokens of the liars. Now, these are powerful stuff, you know, that you need to grab on. You know, these are the benefits, your authority in Christ. God has given you tokens of lies, you know, all these tokens they put out there. And you pass by, the curse will come upon you, tokens here and there, and this and this and this. You know, one time somebody told me that, you know, they were passing by somebody, and that person struck a match, and then snuffed out the light. And he said, and I know what it means. So I said, well, so what do you think that means? He said, where is this? And I said, yeah, you know, that is so because of that's what your flimsy mind thinks, that somebody that has a match in their hand snuffs out the light. That means they're going to snuff out your light. They can't do it when you are in Christ. And I said, look, they can try. You know, it's not that they won't try, but, you know, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. It's not that the weapon will not be formed. It's not that the tokens will not be put together, but it won't work. You know, you got to believe that it's not going to work. That's the authority that you have in Christ. But if you don't believe that it's not going to work, then it will work. You know, and the next thing you know, when that person is sick, they're going to say somebody is doing something. Somebody is doing that thing. Somebody is doing this and somebody is doing that. Well, of course. And all their life, they'll be subject to the bondage of fear. Fear of this, fear of that, you know, and so on. But God said, I am the one that frustrates the tokens of the liars. And I make diviners mine. Who are diviners? Well, yeah, these people that I'm talking about. They look in crystal glass. They do all of these things. They tell you, go bring a token, bring their DNA, bring their photo, bring their this and so forth. Now, I don't want to go too much into those dark things, but those dark things are there and they conjure up these things. But God said, I frustrate them. Glory to God. I frustrate them. I turn them backward. I make their knowledge, their tokens, everything. I make them foolish. And this is the authority that you have in Christ. So never you subject your mind to these things that people have. Who can have power over you when you are in Christ? You know, but if you are not, if you have one leg in and one leg out, well, of course, sweep you off your, knock you off your one leg easily. Let's be rooted and grounded in the truth, anchored upon the promises of the word of God. You know, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up, anything they conjure against, it's not going to work. You know, this is the authority that you have in Christ. God has given you authority in that scope. I mean, that area. You know, you may not have authority over everything else. They may be casting their spells upon others. You may not really be able to stop them. But in your case, you have to stop them. As I often say to people, look, let the birds be flying over in the air. I don't have the authority or dominion over birds to tell them, hey, all birds, no more flying. Maybe at some time I'll be able to do that. I can't do that today. However, I can tell and make sure the bird does not land on my head. You can fly in your own space. That's fine. But you're not landing on my head. This is my space. And I have my own authority in this space. Praise the Lord. You know, so no enchantments, no divination, none of these things work against you. Now let's talk about sickness and disease. This is something that we have to deal with all the time. And I'm going to let you extrapolate from here. Extrapolate means, well, you use the current facts and evidence in this scenario. And by deduction, you apply it to something else. So we'll talk about one or two things because we can't cover everything. Otherwise, this lesson will go on forever. Then you extrapolate. Well, you know, the same thing applies in these other areas. So I've talked about enchantments and divinations. I'm going to talk about two more things and then you can extrapolate to everything else. Let's talk about sickness and disease. Because that's another thing that the devil uses, you know, to hinder us, put different things upon us and our bodies and so forth. And here's another area too where we don't have full dominion, not just yet. If we did, nobody would be sick. Nobody will ever get sick. But unfortunately, the reality of the matter is we do get sick. But we have this authority over sickness and disease. When it comes, God has given us authority what to do with it. When you are sick, the authority God has given you is call for the elders of the church. They'll pray for you and you'll be healed. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities and who healeth, that's present continuous, all my diseases. Now, God would not be a healer if there wasn't anything to heal. Yeah. And the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That means in Exodus 15:26, when we are sick, he will heal us. It would be great if we never fell sick. That time is coming when he will take away all sickness. But for now, you may be sick, but he will heal you. Now, the authority you have, not quite dominion. Well, it may be nice for us to be able to have dominion that sickness cannot come near us. But even if you don't have that dominion, one authority that you know you have is that when you are sick, you can claim your healing. So you can see it's a limited scope, but it'll work if you know how to use it. So when you are sick, you claim your healing from the Lord. And then we can actually say to the Lord, if you can expand your level of faith, you know, to those that can expand it, you can say to the Lord, look, you said that I will take away from you, from the midst of you. That means from among you, but also means from inside, inside you. You know, the Lord will take away from thee, you know, all sickness. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. And will put none of these evil diseases on you. And the Lord will never do it, but the devil will. The devil will try to do it. And so, you know that when illness or sickness come upon the children of God, it's never from God. But the enemy has done this. The good man planted the good seed. And while men slept, the evil one came and planted tares among them. So when they got up in the morning and said, well, where came all these tares? And said, well, the enemy has done this. You know, so, you know, the sickness and disease, and God won't put it on you. However, the enemy will try to put it on you. The authority that you have is to, you know, disengage yourself from those things that the enemy want to put on. Don't accept it. Don't say you have COVID, for instance. Don't say you have cancer. Don't say you have these negative things. You know, once you say it with your mouth, it's really a dangerous place. Listen to Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24. The inhabitants of the kingdom shall not say, I am sick. Don't say it. Yeah, that doesn't mean you are not sick, but don't accept it. Now, you may be diagnosed, and doctors are great to help us understand the root cause of some of these things so that you can know how to deal with them. That's all it is. Doesn't mean you have to accept it going around and say, I'm this and that. No. When you understand, okay, so you've been diagnosed with COVID, or you've been diagnosed with leukemia or some other cancer or whatever, it's for you to know so that you can deal with it. But it's not for you to go around claiming that you have this. No, you don't. Because you should not say, I am sick. What you should say is, I am healed. Praise the Lord. And you should continue to say you are healed, even when it looks like you are sick. Even when you are still sick. Now, does that mean you just say you are healed and you do nothing else? No, you do all the things you need to do. You know, because, you know, a lot of sickness and so forth, even though they are the works of the enemy, some of them are also natural causes, you know, that came from neglect or this or abuse. You know, you abuse, you eat too much, you do the wrong thing, or you neglect this and that. Some things will come in, abuse and neglect, cause a lot of things, you know, even lack of rest, which is neglect. You don't take care of certain areas, you know, you'll be prone to certain things. So you take care of whatever you need to take care of. The Lord will also give you wisdom to take care of those things. But ultimately, he will heal you. And that's an authority that you have. It's a benefit. It's also an authority you have. You know, and don't let the devil put it upon you. That's one area. The other area, like I said, I'm only going to give you these two areas because I'm running out of time. Then you can extrapolate to all the others. The other areas that I often like to talk about, because every one of us deals with these things. That's why I'm talking about these areas. We all deal with sickness, disease, something's happening to me and so on. Well, another area of something's happening to me is, you know, what we saw, and I've spoken about this many, many times, you know, what we saw in the story of the, you know, of the children of Israel and Pharaoh. Well, you know, what Pharaoh said to them, that these people are idle, you know, the static, you know, they are idle, he said. Therefore, they say, let us go and serve the Lord. you know, now let there be more burden laden upon them so that, you know, they will not be able to have time to say we're going to serve the Lord. So this was the tactic that Pharaoh put out there, and he was the same thing that he's still doing today. You know, so I have spoken about this many times, and I just want to call it out again today briefly. You know, so Pharaoh, when he saw that the people were saying, well, we want to go and serve the Lord, he said to the taskmasters, you know, these people are idle. Increase their burdens and even take away any help that they had before, you know, so that they would not be provided straw or provender or this and this, but don't diminish any of the tailor bricks that they were supposed to bring, you know, and they will not have time to be saying, we want to serve the Lord. So this is, why is this important? Well, let's read it quickly. In Exodus chapter 5, from verses 4 to about verse 9. So Moses, of course, you know, had appeared before Pharaoh and said a few things. And, you know, so Pharaoh said, look, you are giving these people false hope and making them rest from their labors. Well, and then you are saying, we're going to go worship the Lord. What's that all about? I'm going to make their situation harder. So that gives us an understanding that when things start to happen around you, sickness in the family, stress on the job, more bills to pay, more things breaking your house, more problems to fix, all of these things are Pharaoh, or might be Pharaoh saying, but let there be more problems put upon her so that she will be struggling, running around doing that and not have time to serve the Lord. You know, so that's something you must understand. Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters and said to the people, you know, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and get for themselves, but don't diminish any of the tale, you know. And he furthermore said them, let their more work be laid on the men, and that they may labor therein. And let them not regard vain words such as want to go and worship the Lord. So this is the tactic of the devil. Your authority in Christ is to know that the Lord has said, and here's what you are going to use to counter that. And you got to know how to look for these scriptures so that you can know how to counter when the enemy is bringing things into your life that will derail your peace and so on and so forth. You know, the Lord has said in Psalm 127 that it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, only to eat the bread of sorrows. We've got to give you peace. What is God saying? He said, look, the devil will put upon you more stress. You have to work longer hours. You have to do more work. You have to do more stuff, but you're still struggling, still eating the bed of sorrows. I mean, you're not flourishing, you know. Bed of sorrows, you know, bread of sorrows rather, is like eating hand to mouth or whatever. You're just barely making it. Even when you're stressing yourself, you have to get up earlier. You have to stay up later. You have to work more jobs. You have to do all of these things. And yet, it's like earning money to put in a bag of holes. I mean, there's always problems. Everything all breaking out. You spend all the money on it and so forth. You go, what you are earning, you're not enjoying. Yet, it is the gift of God that a man should both enjoy the good of all his labor that he has labored in. And yet, you're not. So, the Lord will give you rest and sleep. You know, the Lord can take a little and make it go further. See, that is the thing with the Lord. So you have to change the trajectory by saying, look, I've been struggling. I've been doing these things. It's not working. I'm barely making it, you know, but God wants you to prosper and be in health. 3 John verse 2. He wants you also to flourish. John 10:10. Abundant life. Not necessarily to be, you know, stifled all the time. You know, it's like you're choking all the time and you really can't make it. I'm not making light of this situation or making fun of it, but it's the reality. The devil tried to choke you, put more stuff on you to choke you. So your authority is to find scriptures like this. I say, Lord, you said, you know, that, you know, enough of this already. You told us that, you know, that you caused me to go upright and I'm not going to be burdened again under the yoke of the enemy. You know, the Lord has given me deliverance. So how do you do that? Well, you go to the Word of God. You find scriptures that you can use. You find scriptures that say He will, you know, bless your bread and bless your water. You find scriptures that say He will give you rest, you know, and you begin to, you know, say, well, this is what you said, Lord. And you use that authority to fight the devil. Hallelujah. You know, so God wants you, God doesn't want us to be bent over, under the yoke of the devil. When the heavy burdens are too much, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11 verses 28 and so on. God wants us to, you know, He wants to release us of the heavy burdens, but we've got to look unto Him to help us to do that. Now, lastly, let me close out with Leviticus 26 and 13 that says, I have broken the bands of your yoke, saith the Lord, and I have made you to go upright. That means you've been bent over so much under the burdens, you couldn't even stand up straight. Well, the Lord says, I have broken it. So some authority that you have, you use, turn them around to use them like benefits, is to go to the Lord in prayer and say, well, you said you've broken, you know, these things for me. So I'm now going to put my neck under the yoke of bondage again. And you take scriptures like Isaiah 52 and verse 2. You shake yourself from the dust. You lose your necks from the band around which the devil tried to put upon you. And he said, the Lord said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. So all the things that enemy put upon you to make sure you don't have time for the Lord said, I've broken it. I don't want you to be like that. So you go to that, the Lord in prayer with that. Let me pray over the room. I'm going to yield here. I think we've said enough. Extrapolate for all the rest. And that's how you do it. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the victory that we have in Christ. And we know now that using your name is more than just chanting it. You must understand the power that lies behind that name. And we thank you for victory over the world, victory over sickness, victory over disease, victory over the burdens that Satan tries to put upon us. And even tokens of the liars, enchantments, divinations, sorceries, and various things. We have victory over these things. Because there is one that is in us is greater than the one that is without. Oh Lord, we give you the glory. We give you all the glory for the understanding of this victory that we have in Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the authority that you have given us over sickness and disease. Even as you gave to your disciples to cast them out, even devils and sicknesses and different, tread upon scorpions, you know, and over all the power of the enemy. You said nothing shall by any means hurt you. We thank you, Lord, for these promises. No weapon that's formed against us. It's the authority that we have in Christ. No weapon that's formed against us will prosper. You know, because the Lord will frustrate all of their tokens. According to Job chapter 5 and verse 12, it said, the Lord will disappoint their devices and will not allow their hands to perform any of their enterprise. So let it be that we have this understanding, Lord. We have this authority in you. You know, that none of these things will affect us in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.